Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. Coming up is a word from Pastor Kong Hee.
Isaiah chapter 9 is a chapter on the birth of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to look with you two verses, verses 2 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 2, "The people walk in darkness, have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." All around the world, people celebrate Christmas on 25th of December, which falls on the week of the winter solstice, the longest and possibly the darkest time of the whole year. God uses Christmas to remind us that when we go through dark times, He's always near and working for our good. Now, the truth is, all of us go through dark seasons, a sickness, a loss, a divorce, a betrayal, a heartbreak. Sometimes things happen in life that we don't understand. You have been faithfully working in a company for 20 years, and then all of a sudden, there is a downsizing and you get retrenched. The person you have fallen in love with and you have dated for 7 years, 8 years, suddenly walk out of you. One preacher friend of mine had miscarriages 4 times in a row. So she lost her babies 4 in a row. Boom, 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 boom. And she's serving God. In moments like this, it's very easy to get discouraged and give up on life and give up on your visions, your dreams, on your destiny. But today you need to know that God uses dark places for your good, to transform you, to make you better, to bring you into an even greater and higher purpose. Jesus says in John chapter 12 that your life is like a seed. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, your life is like a seed? Yeah. In this seed is great potential to bear fruit, to become a great tree that will bring shade and a blessing for many. But a seed cannot germinate in the light. Do you know that? It's amazing. I went and checked my old biology book. It's true. As long as the seed stays on the shelf or in a cupboard or on a desk, it will never become what it was created to be. Jesus says it remains alone. You must plant the seed in the soil in a dark place so that what is on the inside will come to life. Likewise, you are that seed. And there are visions and dreams, there are talents and great potential in you, but they will only come to life in a dark place. Too much of a good thing can hinder growth. You know that? For the seed, the presence of light actually stunts the germination process. If you want your life to be only trouble-free, only blessings, only comfort and ease, and nothing else, you will never grow in God. And this is why God says in the Bible, Isaiah 45 and verse 3, "I will give you the treasures of darkness." Now look, there are treasures you can never find except in darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. There are some treasures of God that can only be found in dark places. Now, let's be clear about this. God doesn't send sicknesses, difficulties, or hardships, but He uses everything that comes into our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, and He turns it around for our good, because only in those dark places can you really grow and become more and more like Jesus. For example, it is only when you are hurt and offended that you can learn forgiveness. And because without learning how to forgive, you can never grow in love. For love and forgiveness are synonymous. You can't say, "I want to have the fullness of God's love, but I don't like the forgiveness part." It can't happen. Love and forgiveness are two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. Another example, only in the dark places can you learn patience and forbearance. Only when there is delay can you learn how to wait on the Lord. And as you persevere and persevere, your spiritual muscles get stronger and stronger. Your affliction is really your spiritual gym. It is a gym to build up your fitness in the things of God. In the dark places, you pray more. You draw closer to God. You need God more. You learn to be quiet, to listen to His voice. You press in more and more to the Lord. In the dark places, you reevaluate your priorities. You begin to realize what is important. All of a sudden, you have a new appreciation for your family, for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for your elderly parents. All of a sudden, you know who your real friends are. Isn't that true? You only know your real friends in dark times. I know you don't like it, but many things that God wants to do in you can only happen in the fire of affliction. And when you have gone through enough dark seasons, you won't complain as much about the little things in life. You're driving on the road, another driver cuts into your lane, or when a waiter is a little slow in serving you in a restaurant, or when your colleague is rude to you, you don't get so easily upset or offended or lose your joy, lose your peace. These are nothing to you. You have developed Teflon skin. You have developed a backbone of steel. A year ago, Sun noticed that even after I had brushed my teeth, my breath was a little strong and musty. That means there was a bad smell. As a preacher, I learned to brush my teeth many times a day. I'm a disciple of Dr. Cho. Dr. Cho goes everywhere carrying his toothbrush and his toothpaste. So I brush my teeth maybe 5 times a day. But even after brushing, there was always a smell. Now, this went on for a few weeks. So she said, Kong, you better go get this checked out. I went to see an ENT doctor. He found a sizable tumor that have turned black in my throat. It looked nasty. It looked sinister. He told me, Pastor Kong, he said, this doesn't look good. There is a 50-50 chance it is cancer. You got to take it out immediately. We got to send it for testing. To my own surprise, I wasn't worried at all. I didn't panic. I knew that God was in full control. So what was the worst that could happen? You know, the Bible says to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. So either way, I win. But the doctor was very concerned. My family got very worried. But I was in total peace. I went through the whole surgery and praised the Lord. The biopsy results showed it was not cancerous at all. Yeah, let's give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been 1 year since the op. So I recently went for another checkup just to ensure everything's okay. The first thing the doctor said to me when he saw me, he said, oh, Pastor, do you know how blessed you are? I just did an identical operation on another lady with the same type of tumor, exactly like yours. But the biopsy showed she had lymphoma, totally cancerous. Now, when he heard that, he was very happy. But why didn't I panic? Why didn't I lose sleep or appetite? Because when you have gone through enough dark places, it toughens you up. Yeah? We all like good times where everything is going our way. So we pray, oh, Father, God, please give me more success, more favor. Please give me more influence, more comfort, more ease. But God knows that only having good times alone will never bring the best out of you. How many of you want to become the best you can be for the glory of God? Yeah? You're not sure. Some of you say, I don't want to be anything. How many of you want to be the best that you can be for the glory of God? Come on, lift up both hands and shout a little bit. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can be the best. Yeah, amen. The best for the glory of God, right? While it sounds good to have no problems in life, no adversity, no pain, no struggle, nobody coming against you. But this might actually stunt your growth. You can never develop the fruit of the Spirit. You can never live out the Beatitudes. If anything, too much good times will make you soft and weak, spoiled and indulgent, feeling entitled. Those of you who are parents, you understand this. And God is a wise Heavenly Father. For me, it was the lonely nights, the times when I didn't think I still have any hope or future left, when I couldn't see a way out in what I was going through. That was when I learned to pray. I mean, really pray. And I learned to trust and to wait on God and to be patient and to persevere and develop an unshakable confidence in my God. That it is not just a slogan, that God is really, really good all the time. And that all the time, He is really, really good. That was when my faith is stretched and my faith is strengthened and it increased. The fact is, most of you never pray in the good times. And you don't tend to draw close to God when everything in life is going well with you. For me, the last decade helped me to develop my spiritual muscles. Even though I didn't like what was happening, it was tough, it was uncomfortable, it was painful, it was heart-wrenching. But it made me better, more broken, more spiritual, closer to God. Look, come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Talk to me. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. So what do you do when you're in a dark place? Three simple things. You'll never forget this, especially if you're a young person here. Three things you can do when you're going through a dark times. What to do when you're in a dark place? BTS. Not the Korean pop group. Not the Korean pop group. Not the Korean pop group. BTS, you'll never forget this. B stands for belief. You got to believe. Jesus is wonderful. He will be called Wonderful. What does it mean? It means that in the dark times, He always amazes. That's what it means. When Jesus is one, I mean, He always surprises you. He will surprise you with good things that you never expect. He is the counselor. So you bring Him into your dark situation. You don't try to go it alone. Let Him counsel you. Let Him lead and guide you. Let Him open a new door for you. I learned a long time ago that wherever many doors are shut, God always opens a new one. Ask Him for wisdom to make a way and then show you that way. He is the mighty God. Nothing is impossible to Him. So you keep believing Him for your healing, for your deliverance, for your protection, for your blessing, for the favor, for the breakthroughs. You keep believing. Only believe. Don't doubt the promises of God. Now, to doubt is to be double-minded, to be of two minds. Is He going to heal? Is He the healer or He's not? Is He the deliverer or He's not? Is He able to provide for me or is God also bankrupt already? Don't be double-minded about what God has said in the Bible. When you believe, never believe halfway. If you're going to believe all the way. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Nissi, your deliverer. He is El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, the God of more than enough. You keep believing. You keep visualizing. You keep confessing. You keep speaking out the promises of God. You may be in a dark place right now. Tonight, while you're here, maybe you're seated here and somebody had already broken your heart. And you are hurting. Or someone you love is gone. Somebody you love deeply have died prematurely. You are lonely and you're wondering, Will I ever be happy again? Maybe your health is in a dark place. You just got a bad medical report. And you don't see how you're going to go through this. Or maybe your finances are in a dark place. Business is slow. It seems like you're losing your clients. And you're wondering, is it ever going to get any better? Don't stop believing in the promises of God. God is for you. He is with you. He didn't bring you this far only to forsake you now. Let me tell you, people are not going to determine your destiny. God does. The economy doesn't determine your future. God does. COVID-19 is not going to determine your future. God is a determiner of your destiny. Come on, go ahead and give God a big hand. A bad season doesn't define your life. God always has the final say. If you go through the dark places with a right heart, with a right attitude, always honoring God, with gratitude, with compassion, with courage, everything I taught you last week, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine or think. So number one, you keep believing. Number two, T stands for trust. Trust. It means you be patient. You wait. You persevere. You trust the Lord that He knows what He's doing. It may not feel like it, but God is working behind the scenes and working the situation for you. But even more than that, He's working in you. You are getting stronger. David says, God enlarged me when I was in distress. So David wasn't enlarged in the good times. He was only enlarged when things were not going well for him. When he was in the dark places, learn to trust God's timing. He has a perfect timing for everything. Tell God, Lord, I'm not in a good place. This is a dark place. Even though I don't see it, I believe you're working out everything for my good. I'm getting closer to you, and I will be more spiritual. I will become more and more like Jesus. Help me, Lord. So number one, you actively believe. Number two, you quietly trust. Now number three, you wholeheartedly surrender. Everybody say surrender. Surrender. Turn to your neighbors at left and right, say, you got to surrender. Surrender. Yeah. Having done all the praying, all the believing, all the confessing, all the trusting, now you must learn to surrender the outcome to Him. How did Jesus pray in the garden? Father, not my will, but yours be done. He surrendered his future to God. God's will is always the best for you. Hebrews chapter 12 is a list of all the heroes of faith in the Bible. Heroes of faith. Half of them received their miracles in their lifetime. The other half didn't. But they were all heroes of faith because they all believed till the end. And this is what faith is. You believe, you trust God till the very end, and then you surrender the outcome to Him. If the promises are not fulfilled in this lifetime, you know that you know it will be fulfilled in the next, in the new heaven and new earth. You just look at Abraham. He's the father of faith. This means he's our model of what faith is. He's our example of what it means to believe God. Abraham was promised many things. He was promised the land. He was promised many descendants. He was promised that he would be a blessing through the whole world. And then God gave him a vision of the new Jerusalem. But yet in his lifetime, Abraham only received one fulfillment. He got one son. He didn't get to own the land. He didn't live to see a nation with many descendants. He didn't get to see a worldwide revival. He didn't get to see the city of God. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 13 that these all died in faith. All of them. Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac. They believe all the way until their deathbed. Even when they die in faith. That means they never doubted or ever lost the vision. But they surrendered the outcome to God. Lord, if I don't get it in this lifetime, I know I'm going to get it in a new heaven and earth. They believe until the day they died. So if you are sick, you believe God all the way for your healing. And if for some reason you are not healed in this lifetime, you can be sure you'll be healed in the next. Listen, I don't want you to have this mindset. If I believe, if I have faith, then God better guarantee my success. God better do it. As I have expected in prayer, He must. Many Christians have this kind of mindset. Otherwise, I don't want to believe Him anymore. Because why must I believe? I'm only going to get disappointed. If this doesn't work out the way I expected, this is not faith. This is formula. This is having a formula. If I do A and B, I must be guaranteed of C. But relationship doesn't work this way. Trust doesn't work this way. When you believe and trust someone, it's always for better or for worse. It's for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. So when you're in a dark place, you must believe God for healing, for blessing, for deliverance, for favor. You pray, you praise. You put your trust in the Lord. You thank God. You confess the word. You speak to your mountain. You stay in faith every day, all day long. But whatever the outcome, you joyfully surrender to Him. You believe, you trust, you surrender. Come on, talk to me. You believe, you trust, and you surrender. Look at Paul. Possibly the greatest man after Jesus in the New Testament. You can't find another guy greater than Jesus like Paul, you know? But he was in and out of dark places all the time. Each time he believed. Each time he trusted. And he always surrendered. Paul started his Christian life with a mighty encounter. He was on the way to Damascus. Boom! He saw the light of God. Well, I mean, that was very good, powerful encounter. Immediately, he came to a dark place. Many people tried to kill him. He was only a new convert. Can you imagine you're a new convert and people want to kill you? He had to escape for his life. So this was very bad. But he kept moving in signs and wonders and miracles. And soon, revival followed him everywhere he went. So this was very good. But he came to Lystra and he was stoned to death. This was very bad. But God raised him from the dead. Now, this was very good. And then he cast out a powerful demon in Philippi. And he was arrested and severely beaten and then thrown into prison. This was very bad again. Then he got delivered and he brought revival to Corinth and Ephesus. And he was able to raise the man Eutychus from the dead. Revival. This was very good. But then many in Corinth started to slander against him. And he was so stressed out. This is very bad again. And then he was imprisoned in Jerusalem. Another season of darkness. When they shipped him to Rome, along the way, he got shipwrecked. He was now in even greater darkness. He swam ashore and was bitten by a poisonous snake. The darkness just got darker. But then God healed him and brought him and used him to bring revival to the entire island of Malta. This was very good. And when he reached Rome, he was imprisoned for another 2 years. This was very bad again. But during the time in prison, he wrote powerful letters that changed the world. And we are still reading them in our Bibles today. So this was very, very good. But eventually, Paul was beheaded by the Roman emperor. So he ended his life in a very dark place, literally. Again, very bad. But where is Paul? Paul is now in heaven, in the presence of our Lord Jesus. And his impact is still being felt around the world today. And this is awesomely good. Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Oh, you want to clap? Let's give the Lord a big clap. So, the big question here is this. Was Paul a man of faith? Of course he was. One of the greatest. But bad, good, good, bad. Light, darkness, darkness, light. If you have a mindset, I only want good things. I don't want bad things. Then Paul must be a failure. And guess what? You'll never be like Paul. It was only in the dark times that his faith and his trust could be purified and strengthened, which made him a world shaker and history maker. How did Paul do it? Paul surrendered himself fully to the will of God. And this is why Paul was able to say in Romans chapter 8 that God uses the dark days for the good of those who love him, to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So today, I'm asking you, I'm telling you, believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus all the way. And to surrender fully to him, because God hasn't left you. You may feel alone and forgotten right now, and life hasn't turned out the way you wanted, but God is still with you. He's leading you. He loves you. He is for you. The only reason he allows you to go through the dark places is to shape you into who you were created to be. I know it's not easy. I know you don't understand why. But faith is trusting God even when life doesn't make sense. When it seems like the end for you, God is actually bringing you forth into a new beginning. He's bringing you into a new beginning. In 1995, my mother had a massive stroke, a massive heart attack. She went into a coma. When we rushed to the hospital, all the doctors said to us, your mom's dead, it's going to die. There's no cure for her. She's not gonna make it. Get the whole family to come. In 24 hours, she's gonna die. But we prayed and God intervened. My mom woke up, but it took her one whole year to be able to stand and be able to walk. But she never regained her speech. Son and I, we prayed, we believed, we confessed, we spoke to our mountain. While God brought her back from certain death, God didn't heal her completely. But why? Why didn't God heal my mother all the way? It felt like the dark days never totally cleared up. But God used the loss of health to bring forth a new beginning. Both my parents, because of all these, received Christ and were water baptized. They have been estranged for 25 years. But because of the stroke, their love for each other was rekindled and their marriage has been healed and restored for the last 26 years. Wait, listen. 25 years, it was like living hell, but 26 years, it was heaven on earth. God has restored the years the locust has eaten up. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Oh, go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When my mother was 68 years old, the doctor said she's going to die. My mom is 94 years old right now. And both my parents are in their 90s. And my dad is still madly in love with my mother today. And with their salvation came healing and restoration to our entire family. Now, all this would not have happened without the dark place of the stroke. God didn't send the stroke. God didn't send the heart attack. But God used something very bad and turned it for our good. When life isn't fair to you, instead of wondering, why is this happening to me? Why must bad things happen to good people? Instead of saying all that, say, Lord, I know you're still on the throne. I may not understand this, but I will still believe. And I will still trust. And I will surrender to your will. If you can do this, God will amaze you with his goodness. Unless a seed is planted in a dark place, there won't be any fruit. There won't be any harvest. If you ask the seed will tell you, I don't want to be in the dark. It's lonely. It's uncomfortable. I don't want people walking over me every day. But the seed is not buried. It is planted. It has a resurrection life of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit inside. Over time, something beautiful will blossom. Don't be discouraged or bitter anymore. Decide to believe in God today. Decide to trust Him all the way and then surrender the outcome to Him. You are the apple of His eye. God knows what He's doing. I know you're uncomfortable with all the dirt thrown at you right now, but that dirt is not there to bury you. It's there to bring out the seed of greatness on the inside. This Christmas, don't sink into the darkness. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus and surrender to Jesus. Let His light guide and lead you. The light of Jesus Christ will eventually grow into the glory of the noonday sun. And everybody say, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, give Him praise. Those of you at home, give the Lord praise. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Right now, wherever you're seated, you should have a candle under your seat. Can you just bend down and just pick it up? If you don't have one, just lift up your hands and ushers will pass one to you. And please look around you. You may be sitting to a newcomer, a visitor, a guest. If your neighbor doesn't have a candle, can you help them get one from the ushers? In a moment, we're going to switch off all the lights. And from the front to the back, we'll be lighting up our candles. I know some of you came here in your pocket, you have secret lighters. Please don't use it. Turn to your neighbor and say, no strange fire. Yeah. We only want holy fire in this service. Yeah. In a moment, this arena is going to turn into a beautiful cathedral of lights. Shall we all stand up right now? When we light the candles, feel free to use your phone to take as many selfies, wifis, videos as you want. Okay, are you ready? At a count of three, we're going to switch off the lights. Let me tell you, tonight you're going to see on the screen where people on Zoom, they're prepared to join us, you know, the Zoom videos, and you're going to see them joining us in our countdown. I mean, not countdown, in our candlelight. I'm thinking 2 weeks ahead. Okay, right. Are you ready right now? On the count of three. One, two, three. Lights off.
Amen. Oh, holy night, the stars so brightly shine. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Born, oh, night.
Shepherd. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Already, is it enough? Y'all want to sing one more time? Okay, we just go 5-3 more minutes, okay? Hallelujah. We sing one more time. Silent night.
Silent night. Holy night. Shepherds quail.
Service, Son encouraged the people with a powerful word. You know, it was a prophetic word for that service. Why don't we just share in just what it was?
I just want to say that, first of all, blessed Christmas to every one of you.
Yeah.
Earlier in the service, you know, when we heard a sermon like that, when we hear of the story of Paul, you know, when we hear the story of Abraham, we can identify so much, isn't it? Especially the last 2 years. Passing through COVID, many of us, we just feel like, man, God, have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten about the promises that you have made to me? Seems like the darkness just get deeper and deeper and deeper. But I can't agree more with Pastor that really is in those secret places and the deep darkness. And that's where we found God. And that's where He really increased our capacity. So I just want to encourage you that life is made up of ignited moments. And this evening, you are standing or you are spending those moments. You are standing next to someone that you love. And maybe perhaps for some of you, You wish that someone that you love, someone that you treasure can be standing next to you. You know, someone perhaps that you love is not so well, it's at home. Someone that you love perhaps is distant and can't be here. But I want to believe together with you. Let's have faith.
Yeah.
All right, let's have faith that God is good.
Yes.
Amen. God is good. He is faithful and He is wonderful.
Amen.
Earlier in the service, Pastor Bobby reminded us that Jesus, the name of Jesus, is that He saved. He has come to save us, to save our life, to save us from our circumstance.
Yes.
So here He is, 2,000 years later, He is still saving.
Yes.
And I believe that this Christmas is going to be so precious for all of us if we would just keep believing and have hope in us. Amen?
Amen.
So, blessed Christmas to every one of you. And let's believe in that verse that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
I want you to turn to your neighbors and say, this is going to be your best Christmas.
Ever.
Yeah, it's gonna be best Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing one last time, all right? Silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light. All together now.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God loves pure light.
Count to three, we're going to snuff out the candles. Now, this is going to be a challenge for you because this COVID time, you cannot take down your mask and blow it. You got to snuff it out, not by blowing, but by waving your hands up and down. Okay, now when we snuff out the candles, the lights will come on. Please put the candles under your chair. Don't burn your chair, please make sure you snuff out. And then I want you to go and greet each other with a Merry Christmas, okay? Are you ready? On the count of three, we snuff out by waving it up and down. One, two, three. Let's do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the song together.
Your heart is filled with so much fear. You've cried a million tears. It's time now to give in your broken heart and shattered dreams. He died to set you free. Jesus Christ is calling you. Jesus Christ is calling you. It's time to make that choice. With open arms and love He waits. Come to Him, don't hesitate. As you hear His voice, please make that choice. Let my Savior pull you through. Jesus Christ is calling. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Sing it one more time. Jesus is.
the way.
Hallelujah. God is a good God. If you're in a dark place right now, you can still believe in His promises. He is a very present help in time of your need. This Christmas, will you let Jesus Christ come and heal you of your sicknesses? Will you let Him take away your burdens? Will you give Him all your worries and all your fears? I want to pray for all those of you who are sick, whether you're on site or you're online. If you're sick in your body, put your hands on the part that is sick. If you've got cancer, Jesus can heal cancer. If you've got heart disease, He can heal that heart. If you've got breast cancer, put your hands on your chest right now. If you've got nose cancer, put your hands on your nose. If you've got cancer in your stomach, put your hands on your stomach. If you've got cancer in your liver, put your hands on that liver right now. Wherever it may be, Jesus can heal. Jesus can heal. If you have a heart disease, put your hands on your heart. If you've got palpitation of the heart, you've got hypertension, put your hands there. You've got lymphoma, you've got leukemia. Put your hands on your body right now. I believe this morning, this evening, Jesus can heal you. You've got an inoperable tumor on your head. Put your hands on your head right now. I command the tumor to go in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, let's all begin to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. You got asthma, I want you to take a deep breath right now. Be healed of the asthma. You got eczema, be healed of the skin disease. If you got hypertension, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, let me tell you, on the cross, Jesus took all your infirmity. He took away your arthritis. That by His stripes you are healed. He took away every physical pain. Give your pain to Jesus right now. Those of you at home, you have a stroke, you cannot walk, I pray strength will come into your limbs right now. Rise up and be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Do something you cannot do. Move your hands, move your legs, try to walk in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you at home right now and you're going through a hard time, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, I pray God will take away that spirit of heaviness. I command the spirit of death, the spirit of depression to leave you right now. The spirit of darkness to go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed. I speak life into you. I speak life into your body. Come on, let's just pray one more time. Just pray a little bit. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Suicide, go in the name of Jesus. Go right now in Jesus' name. Be healed of the darkness. Be healed of the darkness. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Somebody that's watching, you got IBS, you got irritable bowel syndrome, I pray today all the intestinal problem be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed right now. Some of you have operation in your stomach before, you struggle with adhesion, colic pain in your intestine. I pray right now, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. If you got hearing problem, put your hands into that ear. You got eye problem, put your hands into your eyes. Just put your hands on your eyes. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody here have migraine headaches. Your migraine is so bad that you cannot sleep. You struggle from insomnia because of the migraine. Today, Jesus takes away the pain. Just release the pain right now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, sickness, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cancer, once again, I rebuke you. Leave right now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank Him. Give Him praise. Thank Him. Say, Lord, I thank You. I believe. I believe in Your promises. I believe in Your word. I put my faith. I put my trust in You. I will persevere. I will trust. I will wait on the Lord for my healing. I will wait on You, O God. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. While eyes are closed and heads are bowed, how many of you are going through a dark time right now? Maybe in your finances, business is slow. Some of you are in between jobs. Some of you have just lost your job. Maybe you're watching on this live stream. You may not even be in Singapore, you could be somewhere else. You could be in another country, but right now you're going through a very dark time. There's problems in your marriage, there's problems in your relationships. It seems like you're in a very dark place, but today if you let Jesus, He's the light of Christmas, He's the light of the world. You let Jesus come in, let Him save you. He's the answer to every problem that you have. And even if the darkness is not gone immediately, He'll be your strength. He'll be your grace. He's going to lead you. He's going to open new doors when all the doors are shut. He will make a way when life seems to have no way. How many of you are going through a dark time right now? And you want God to come and light up your darkness? If that's you, wherever you are, whether you're on site or you're online, when I come to three, I want you to lift up your hands. I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing. I'm going to pray that God will give you the grace to go through. The thing with darkness is don't stay in the darkness. You go through it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to walk through it in the name of Jesus. Come out on the other side victorious as an overcomer. How many of you are going through a dark place and you're believing God to take you through it victoriously? When I count to three, I want you to lift up your hands. One, two, three. Put up your hands right now all over this place. Lord, look at all these hands that are lifted up right now. I just pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I pray, everybody that's praying in tongues right now, I pray for a mighty miracle. I pray for strength. I pray for grace. I pray you make a way when there seems to be no way. I pray when every door is shut, you open a new door for us. I pray when it comes to the end, you give us a new beginning. I pray when it seems that all is dead and gone, you bring forth new life. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you right now. Holy Spirit, come and touch every single one that put up their hands. I just pray, oh God, today be a new beginning for them. Everybody say this prayer out loud with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Thank you for being my Savior.
Thank you for being my Savior.
You are the light of Christmas.
You are the light of this Christmas.
Jesus, I invite you.
Jesus, I invite you.
Come into my situation.
Come into my situation.
Come into my dark place.
Come into my dark place.
And be the light.
And be that light.
Show me a way.
Show me that way.
Give me a new blessing.
Give me a new blessing.
A new beginning.
A new beginning.
You are wonderful.
You are wonderful.
I'm ready to be surprised by you.
I'm ready to be surprised by you.
If you believe that, just lift up both hands and pray in the Spirit right now. Just reach out to Jesus. Begin to thank Him. Faith is thanking God in advance. Just release your faith to Him. Jesus, we believe. We believe. Something good is going to happen. We believe. Sing it now.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
If Jesus in your prayers, just give Him a big hand right now. Hallelujah. Those of you at home, just give the Lord a big clap. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Give Him praise, give Him praise, give Him praise. Amen. I just want every eye to close and every head to bow. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you deeply. If you have never invited Jesus into your heart, will you do so right now? Whether you're on site or you're online. Maybe you're a backslider. Will you invite Jesus Christ back into your heart? Will you just close your eyes and say this prayer? Why don't all of us here just encourage somebody who maybe you're here for the first time. Maybe you're invited here. Today you say this prayer, invite Jesus. Your life is going to change. Those of you at home watching, wherever you are online, your miracle is coming. I want you to say this out loud with me. Say, Dear Father God.
Dear Father God.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
Who is my Savior?
Who is my Savior?
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Be the Lord of my life.
Be the Lord of my life.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
And change my life.
And change my life.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give all those that pray this prayer a big clap. Hallelujah. Amen. We're so glad you invited Jesus into your heart. Our pastors and our staff would love to connect with you. Can you please just scan the QR code on your screen to receive a free booklet which will help you to learn more about Jesus. For those on site, we have this blue folder right now that's specially prepared free of charge for you. Just grab a copy from the table as you exit the hall. Praise the Lord. That's all the time we have for this service. Next week is Christmas. I pray you can join us again.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Email us at connect@chc.org.sg.